Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. I'm Aaron Winiwisky. I'm the pastor here, and we got a special morning. Sunday morning is a special morning. This morning, we're doing something that we call child dedication, and many of us have come from some sort of church background. We got some kind of a connection to a church tradition where when shortly after babies are born, they're baptized, and then after they're baptized, then they grow up in their household, and they take a class, and then eventually they confirm the decision that their parents had made to baptize them. They go through a confirmation process. So a lot of us are familiar with that tradition. I don't want to be disrespectful to that tradition or that heritage at all. We're just a church that comes out of a different heritage where when we look at Scripture, we see that people who are baptized, when we see in Scripture, it's after they've heard the good news of Jesus Christ, then they've made a decision to believe, to trust their lives, their eternal lives in His hands, and to commit their lives to follow Him, to commit themselves to follow Him as the Lord of their lives. Now, it's hard for a baby to do that. It's hard for a baby to make a public confession of faith, to say what they believe. So what we do at New Day, and it's not just us, this is we're part of a larger heritage. What we do is we wait until somebody has understood what Jesus did on the cross before we baptize them. We're just trying to be real simple and say, well, that's what it looked like happened in the Bible, so that's what we're going to do here. However, we do see in Scripture that babies sometimes were dedicated, and we see that with Hannah in 1 Samuel. We see that with Mary and Mary and Joseph and their son Jesus. We see them taking their child to the temple and saying to the Lord, "This child is yours. This child belongs to you. We are caring for this child, and yet we acknowledge that this child is a gift from you, and that ultimately, this child is yours." So we have families today that we, you know, we invite people to do that, to make that dedication, that child dedication is what we call it. We have families that have said, "I want to raise my children that God has given me, oh, they're God's. I want to raise them while they're in my care, to know who God is, how He revealed Himself through Jesus Christ, and to raise them in the training and instruction of the Lord." So it's child dedication. It's also parent dedication, really, when it's rightly understood. It's parents dedicating themselves to raise their children in the training and instruction of the Lord. So we're going to celebrate that commitment together. So families that are here that have they've gotten some instruction on this. We're all set. Why don't you come on up on the stage, and we're going to pretty much fill the stage. Parents, and if you have sponsors would be people who have committed to coming alongside those parents and helping. So I'm going to call up Brady and Cassie Messenberg and their children, Finley and Reese, Jeff and Ashley Fish, and their daughter Hope, along with Hope's biological mom Jasmine, Mike and Angie Stulen, and their children, Madison, Adelin, Ella, and brand new Lawson. Well, Lawson was born on Cinco de Mayo. So he's just a little guy. Not May the 4th. They were shooting for that, but come on up, come on up. And Mike and Katie Goralski and their children, Logan and Brenna. Oh my goodness, I can't move this far enough. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I see this, like, this group of people, I think God is still at work, right? I mean, God is, sometimes we think about the next generation and how are they going to do it, and there's so many scary things going on and so many challenges that previous generations didn't have to didn't have to deal with. Well, how they're going to do it is they've got parents and they've got people around them who are committing to raise their children in a way that honors God. I just find so much hope and encouragement in this. So, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, they say, "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up." This is the commandment of God, that we should diligently raise our children in our faith. And in obedience to God's command, that's what these parents and these sponsors are committing to today. So parents, if it is your intention to present these children to the Lord and pledge yourselves, as the Bible says, to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord, please answer, "We do," to the following promises. Do you recognize your children as a gift from God and give thanks for God's blessing? Do you dedicate your children to the Lord who gave them to you? Do you pledge as their parents that you will bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord? Do you ask God's blessings upon their lives to guide, guard, and direct them through all their years? And now for you sponsors who are coming alongside these parents, do you pledge to help these parents to the best of your ability? All right. So you, the church, the body of Christ, you have a responsibility to these little miracles as well. Future Sunday school teachers, worship leaders, encouragers, prayers, they're going to see you out in the community and they're going to be looking at examples of what a God-honoring life is. So we are to be committing ourselves to live that way, not just here on Sunday morning, but out in the community where these kids are going to see us as they grow up. So we need to be committed to them as well. Let's pray for these families before we let them step down from the stage. Let's pray for them together, committed together as a church. God, we do recognize that you are at work, that Jesus is alive, that there is so much hope. I pray, God, that we would be all committed to investing in that hope, to investing in these young people, to setting an example, to teaching well, to raising them in the training and instruction of the Lord. I pray for these parents. There are challenging days. We all know that. And yet, when our foundation is on you, the challenging days will not cause us to crumble. I pray that you'd give them strength, give them hope. And God, may these children know you and love you and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and spend an eternity with you in heaven, even as they spend their lives here on earth honoring you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's hear it for these families. All right, families, if you want to step down, and anybody else who has kids who are ages 3 through 3rd grade, if you'd want to engage them in Kids Club, Miss Heidi is in the back here, and she can help you get over there. If you want to take a moment to take a kid to the nursery, you can do that too. If you are if you've got a squirmy little one, or you get squirmy yourself, what's happening in this room is also going to be available to see and hear in the commons. So at any point, if you start to feel restless, you can head out those doors and enjoy the service from the commons. Matthew 1:18 through 25. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. There are a lot of voices around us that we can listen to, that we can tune into. In this account of Mary and Joseph, we see a couple who have tuned their hearts to God. The first of this month, my family went out to dinner. We were celebrating what we call Family Day. It's the May 1st when our family all came together, all seven of us, for the first time. So 6 years ago is when we became a family of seven. They're a good-looking group, right? Yeah. Something interesting about this particular night, and this was at Wasabi in Weston. I'd never been there before. It was a wonderful dinner. My daughter sitting right next to me, Sophie. Somebody who was sitting with us thought she was the oldest. Oh, she felt so honored. She's the baby. She's gonna be 14 this summer. And something interesting is sometimes we hear about Mary and Joseph when we think of these like pious people, and we kind of put them on a pedestal, and we think of them more like the church board members if they were involved in a church. Scholars and historians, though, generally agree that Mary was probably about the age of my daughter here. She was probably about 14 years old. So rather than thinking of Mary and Joseph as the church board members, they were more like the youth group participants. Really. And their hearts were tuned to God. For Michelle and I, there was a point, I don't even remember how many years ago, where Michelle was feeling this draw to international adoption. She was feeling like that's what God would have her do. And so she shared with me that this is what she was feeling like would honor God with her life. Well, it'd be tough to do that without me, being on board. So she's sharing this, and for me, I didn't hear the same call from God. I'm not talking about an audible call. I'm talking about that kind of sense from within that there's a right thing to do here. And I had all kinds of reasons that would kind of upset my comfortable life. All kinds of voices that would come to mind when she would talk about this plan, this call on her life. And the wise thing that she did, that any of you have heard this story before, have heard me say this, and I repeat it because it's such an important thing. The wise thing she said to me, she did not argue. She listened to my concerns, and then occasionally she would ask me this key question. "Are you praying about this?" Oh, I know, I'm a pastor, so I'm like, that question isn't supposed to be something that I would answer no to. However, I had thoughts already arranged and plans already arranged in my mind. And I knew if I prayed about this, God might have His will done. Which sometimes is inconvenient for us. And yet, by her asking that question, what she was really asking is your heart tuned to God's? And what am I supposed to say? I'm a person who says I'm a disciple of Jesus. What am I supposed to say? No, I'm not going to pray. If you have made a commitment of your life to Christ and said, He is the Lord of my life, if you have followed Him and said, I'm going to pray like Jesus prays, well, Jesus prayed, I have a preference here, not my will, but yours be done. He prayed to the Father in heaven. Not my will, but yours be done. So if I'm going to follow Him, then I've got to be willing to do that. So I started praying about it, and sure enough, it got to the point where I was convinced, if we don't do this, we're acting in disobedience to God. We're acting in rebellion against God. Now, when you act in accordance with what you understand to be God's call and God's will, part of what you're doing is trusting that as God calls, He will equip. If He has said, this is what you should do, He's not going to put you in a position where you're going to regret it. Now, He will put you in a position where not everything is perfect. I am not a perfect dad. I don't have perfect kids. However, I never think, boy, did we do the wrong thing here? I never regret. I never doubt. Because when you enter into something prayerfully, and God brings you a peace in your heart about it, and that's what happened. It wasn't an audible thing. It was just the more I prayed about it, the more peace I had about the right direction to go. If you've done that and you're convinced that, yes, what we're doing, the step we're taking is honoring to God, then there is no wondering, did I do the right thing? Because it wasn't me doing it. It was Him calling and me answering. And there isn't anything that could be wrong with that. So, two people, not just in agreement with one another, two people in agreement with God, powerful things can happen. Think about Joseph, the voices that might have been in his head, and he wanted to break the engagement. He had voices in his head, I'm sure, that were like, boy, this is kind of embarrassing that I'm engaged to this woman and she's pregnant and I know it's not mine. He could have had selfish, self-protective voices. He could have had voices of family members and friends who said, really, are you going to get yourself into this? This seems like a problem. Voices, and yet he hears from God and obeys, and amazing things came from it. Tuning in to God's will. None of us is perfectly objective. We're in many ways a product of voices around us that influence us. We want to think that we're free thinkers, and yet if that was true, why would companies be spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to influence us? Think about the voices, not just audible voices, but think about the advertising. Think about the messages that are going on and what we take in as entertainment, what you listen to, what you see, what you drive past on the road, posters. There's so many messages in our music, our news, our books, magazines, movies, television. They're all saying something to you. What are they saying? What is the message? I was driving to a meeting in Shawano last week, and I got out of range of the radio station that I was listening to. So I started flipping through stations, and I landed on something that sounded kind of catchy. And I'm listening to it. I'd never heard it before. And I'm listening to the words, and I'm picking up these words. So for some of you, this is going to make you uncomfortable because you know exactly the song I'm talking about. For a lot of you, you're good Christians, and you never heard this song. I'm just playing. I'm just playing. The song goes like this, and some of you are going to like, you're going to think I'm old just saying these words out loud. I didn't come here to party. I didn't come here to stay. I came to leave with somebody. Some of you are finishing a line right now. Some of you finishing the line are my kids. I only came for the cake. Now, I'm getting older, but I know he's not talking about birthday cake. All right? What this song is, I'm hearing this and I'm going, seriously, is he saying cake here? Was he comparing a human being to a consumable treat? And do we live in a place where objectifying women is an issue? Women say yes. Men say yes. It's an issue. And yet, people are going to hear the song over and over and over again and sing along. Cake, cake, cake. I mean, they say it like a million times in the song. We don't think that's going to influence us. And I'm telling you, that's naive to think that what we surround ourselves with, the voices that we put in our lives, aren't going to have some influence, some effect on us. Now, some of you who are older are thinking, yeah, I would never listen to that. I can't even quote the lyrics from My Sharona from the stage. I'd be too embarrassed. It's nasty, okay? There is I can't get into the specifics because it's just too embarrassing, it's just too awful. There was a commercial that Pepsi did where they used the Rolling Stones song Brown Sugar. Brown Sugar, again, I'm not gonna quote it from the stage, but I will tell you, if you read the lyrics, Brown Sugar, I'm not being paranoid, it's right in there, is about slave ships coming to New Orleans. Young slave girls being sold, and it gets nasty from there. It gets nasty. And what do? We put it in a commercial for soda. We tap our feet. We sing along. What voices are we listening to? What are we tuning our hearts to? Now, let me tell you, what I'm not saying is that we should all be like to just get into this puritanical, legalistic, never do anything fun kind of situation. What I'm saying is, as a reminder, you are a thinking person, and you can make choices about the voices around you, the things you see, the things you hear. Think about it. Think about it. Be a thinking person in a world that would rather you just go with the flow, and they'll set the course for you. Here's how Jesus put it. He compared himself to a good shepherd. John chapter 10, starting at verse 4. After he has gathered his own flock, Jesus is describing what a good shepherd does. After he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his, let me hear you say this with me, they know his voice. They know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Skip ahead a few verses to verse 10. He compares the good shepherd to a thief. I mean, like saying, I'm the good shepherd, but those other people are thieves. Those other voices. John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So what I'm talking about here is listening for the voice, the call from God through Christ. He promises, be my disciple. Follow me. Let me lead you. Listen for my voice. And sometimes we think, well, I don't want to because I've got these other things that I prefer, these other appetites that I'd like to fulfill. I've got my will. And what Jesus promises is what you think is your will, if it's taking you from me, you're being duped. Someone is stealing from you. Someone is killing you. Someone is destroying you. Listen to my voice, and what you will find is life. Real life. Abundant life. That's what Mary and Joseph experienced. That's what in those good days that I have, and they're not always, it does not always the way this works out, but in those periods in my life where I have been prayerful, where I have taken a chance, where I have stepped out in faith and believed that I was following God's call, I see He equips where He calls, and amazing things happen. So, in the midst of worry, pain, confusion, big decisions, even celebrations, what I want to challenge you to do is ask yourself, am I praying about this? Am I listening for God's voice? You have choices to make. You can choose what voices not to listen to, and you can choose what voice is going to bring life for you, what voice you're going to follow. So pray. Spend time talking to God, and not with the intention of manipulating Him, not asking Him to do your will, but asking Him, what is your will? Pray. Coming to a worship service like this is a good reminder. You're hearing a different voice from what you hear in much of the rest of your life. So coming to something like this, being around other people who are listening for God's voice, connecting with other disciples of Jesus, these are all great steps to take. Reading your Bible in a systematic plan, and if you don't have a Bible, there's this YouVersion. Just look up YouVersion in whatever app store you use, and there are tons of different reading plans, as daily plans where you can hear from God, and it will change your day. Do that for a few weeks, it will change everything. When you start listening for His voice. The life of a disciple is a life of trusting Him step by step, day by day, listening for His voice to stand out above the noise. Jesus called a guy named Levi, who was working in a tax booth, called him and said, "Follow me," and Levi followed. And then Levi wrote about Mary and Joseph so that we would believe that God has a plan to save us through the life, death, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus the Messiah, the Good Shepherd. Are we hearing that good news? Are we tuned into that? Are you living like someone who's listening for the voice of Jesus? Tune your heart away from the thieves. Tune your heart to the one who gives life in all its fullness. Let's pray. God, you are good. Your love, your mercy, they never end. I pray that as thinking people, you would give us the wisdom to consider what voices we're hearing. Give us the courage to change where change needs to happen. God, give us the faith to follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.